It's a bit hot in here, isn't it? Harry, what are you doing?
Just topping up my tan.
You do realise that wasn't lotion you were applying there?
Well, what was it then?
That's Cecil Brandy.
You've developed a rather tangerine glow there. It's very 21st century presidential looking.
Look, just put some clothes on. I'm not sure a serious news programme is supposed to be presented in a pair of budgie smugglers and a straw hat.
I'm covering the naughty bits.
Yeah, only barely. And from what we can tell from the rest of you, you ought to cover that too.
Whilst he puts some clothes on and gets in the chemical shower to remove the brandy stains, let's get on with the headlines.
Be brave for Lave. It's a full orange alert.
Hotbox enters planned expansion.
We go through the octagonal wall glass with Chester.
Little ship, big ship, SRV.
Gunfight at the Ojai Corral. Oh, that is shocking, by the way.
Atrus 5060 is double-checking for painful Thargoids.
Just in case everyone's not doing something else, we've got news from Hutton Space.
And I've been keeping an eye on you, just in case you've been naughty.
This is an all-pilots bulletin. We have an emergency. As a famous person once said, they're playing our tune, the Awooga Waltz. Never let it be said that Terra is the exclusive province of Tharg the Mighty and his ever-so-mighty hyperdiction machine. His place as the most dangerous threat in the galaxy has most definitely been replaced by a new one. Yes, humanity's done a number on itself once again. Then, attacked. The Alliance, Federation, and Empire have been on the receiving end of this, but there's one location that's mystified everyone. Lave. The dusty old relic not far from Hutton Space. Home of our sister station, Lave Radio, and location for the purchase of one of the galaxy's tastier rare alcohols, has been set on fire. In itself, that wouldn't be too worrying. But Lavian brandy and the casks that it's stored in is one of the more highly volatile and explosive substances known to humanity. And there is a sincere risk that should the fire reach the storage tanks, then it would make a supernova look like a Christmas cracker. Operation Orange Peel has been launched by Hutton today. Its mission: to rescue as many of the 25 billion inhabitants of the system as we can. Or at least the ones based at Lave Station. Intarius Fusion, Maestro of the Hutton Helper, has pushed out an update to the HH, as we call it, tracking the rescue efforts. Lavians, please form an orderly queue near the docking pads. Leave your belongings behind, and yes, that does mean all 15 volumes of Station Commander Stroud's latest sci-fi epic. A bottle of Lavian brandy for the rescue teams would, however, be much appreciated. Meanwhile, our investigators have been dispatched to the system, and others attacked by the terrorists, to work out exactly how this was perpetrated and who did the perpetration. Due to the permit-locked nature of many of the stations attacked, we can currently describe the person that is being hunted as an Admiral, King, Wiccan teetotaler with a penchant for setting fire to things, and who clearly obtained a D grade in their Galactic Certificate of Secondary Education in paying attention to where the Alliance is on the big map. According to slogans scrawled across the station, "Down to the Alliance" seems to be about the limit of their vocabulary. and taking into account the number of extra apostrophes and grammatical errors in that three-word phrase, it's likely the person who did this has either been at the Onion Head or was brought up on a generation ship and subject to a few hundred years of inbreeding. May we remind everyone listening, just in case you're thinking of doing something bad, that Lave is an independent system and hasn't been important for an awfully long time. As for how they gained access to the permit lock systems, it's clear that the local border security's policy of making people fill out a form that asks such basic questions as, "Are you a terrorist?" is clearly not going to screen out bad people. Oh, and footage obtained from the border checkpoints has indicated that they're too busy sniggering at the things they see on the body scanners and not paying enough attention to the hand luggage full of Thargoid tech incendiary devices they've got with them. Security has been increased at Hutton's gin distillery in case the attack on Lave and the Lavian brandy was a deliberate attempt by militant teetotalers and prohibitionists to rob space pilots of their daily tot.
As a former hot boss, Commander Venezia is ever conscious of the need to swell Hotbox's ranks. He seems to have taken that extremely literally this week, as he's announced that following an extremely long wait for a respawn in his home station, Miss Venezia has accepted a multi-crew request, and her passenger compartment now has a VIP on board. Apparently, all of those hours shooting off rounds down at the range did not go to waste, as he's managed to engineer the kind of expansion that is very much approved of, and the two Venezias are looking forward to seeing what role their newcomer will adopt, and being the apple of their eye, will add a welcome pip to whichever one they choose. Of course, Commander Venezia is well known for his belief that there is no problem that cannot be fixed with a bigger gun, and he's hoping that the apple of his eye doesn't fall far from the tree, and that their pending multi-crew member will eventually graduate from turreted to fixed weapons once they can actually reach the controls in their SLF without a booster cushion. We do not have information at this point as to the gender of the new crew member, but we're reliably informed that if you're buying clothes, that red, white, and blue goes with everything. And as is the modern fashion in their small part of the globe, there will be a party to reveal that datum. There's been no hint as to when this might happen, but our best advice is to pay attention and look out for a community goal calling for cannons and ammunition to be delivered to Venezia's home station.
The galaxy is full of mysteries. For instance, what's Ramtar actually doing all day? Why is Lave 2 locked? And of course, whatever happened to that random new Thargoid type that was seen just once and then vanished from the galaxy? This week, however, has seen a new mystery, or maybe just a twist in the tale of an existing one. It launching upon the galaxy, the Pilots Federation's daily posts on Galtwit appear to have been intercepted and secret codes inserted into them. The word Hesperus in ancient Morse code appeared in the corner of one of the images and sent commanders into a flurry of activity, working out what it actually meant. Was it a reference to Greek language and legend, or to Venus and the Hesperides, or, as Hutton bibliophiles guessed, something to do with the Longfellow? The ancient poem, The Wreck of the Hesperus, details a hapless vessel foundering on rocks in a wintry storm, the captain's daughter lashed to the mast for her safety for fear of being swept overboard like the crew. Initial thoughts are that no one in their right mind would name a ship after a famous wreck, but given the Titanic 2 through 22 were launched and every one of them met a rather sad fate, there have been numerous Mary Celestes and, well, yeah, you get the idea. Yes, the Hesperus was the sister ship to the Adamaster, the long-lost ghost ship that entered the Chukchan system in 3306. As luck would have it, local resident... start that one again. As luck would have it, local resident Benjamin Chester, founder of the mystery-solving machine that is Wall Glass Investigations, an all-round cravat-wearing, Scooby-snack-munching, pipe-smoking PI, just happens to live in the system. Along with his colleagues, Eric Gunnarsson, Viking of Valhalla, and Francesca Wolf, with an E. She's quite forceful that people remember her E. He has put on his deerstalker, broken out his thinking pipe, and started quoting passages from Longfellow. Last night the moon had a golden ring, and tonight no moon we see. The skipper, he blew a whiff from his pipe, and a scornful laugh laughed he. Was it the Thargoids in which space with the green goo? Or the captain on the poop deck with a belaying pin? Detective Chester will get to the bottom of this sooner or later, at which point he's expected to call everyone into a room together and give us the denouement with a flourish. Whether he finds out exactly what the obsession with Morse code as a secret signal is, or why all these things appear on Galtwit before they do in the news, remains to be seen.
Deck parking officers of the galaxy, be on your guard. Commanders of the Infernal Expedition finally managed to land an SRV on a fleet carrier this week during a stopover in Strio Eop ZP-N-C-230. Bored, drunk and starved for attention, the commanders used an anaconda and a python to lift Commander Bruno in his SRV from planet A1 up into orbit using techniques familiar to many Hutton commanders. Once in orbit, a Taipan fighter and a Sidewinder joined the effort, bringing some finesse to the manoeuvres. Between them, they nudged, dunted, pushed and cajoled the spinning SRV towards the waiting behemoth. Their first attempt resulted in an overshoot, but the support fleet soon recovered the flailing planetary vehicle and had it back on course. Eventually, Commander Bruno was wheeled down on the deck of the unsuspecting carrier and trundled around a bit before falling foul of the landing pad trespass lasers. He put this down to lack of attention as a side effect of the massive amounts of nausea suppressant medication he had taken. So we give heartfelt congratulations to Commander Bruno and the Infernal Expedition members. I'm not going to ask why, I know better, but why has it taken so long? We have had fleet carriers for ages now. Someone should have done this a long while back. So, what's next for fleet carriers? Can we expect bouter stern foot races when walking around permits become available? Will ship surfing become a thing like old 20th century hobby of bus surfing? Will criminals be keyholed? Can I rent an allotment on a fleet carrier to grow brain trees? Only you can answer these questions. So give way to your inner madness. Let it grow and consume you. Yes, that's it. Now get out there and do stupid stuff in the name of Hutton. Alvin approves.
We have breaking news on the capture of one of the frameshift bandits, the perpetrators of last week's heist at Dutch Munitions Facility. Whilst a trio from the pirate band were attacking the facility and stealing the power regulator, police authorities were hot on the heels of the rest of the gang. After a tip-off from a nearby Sidewinder production facility that three vessels were being targeted for theft, a special match set of white, red and blue rare editions and potentially used for a future robbery, forces set their ambush for Don Ned Benedetti. The Camorri Don, an own associate of the dastardly Don Antonacci, was cornered in the station, though his accomplices escaped. His driver, Crowther, beat a hasty retreat and is currently on the run in Super Cruise, but Ned Benedetti attempted to cover his escape. Security forces stormed the ship showroom, only to find Ned Benedetti clad from head to foot in plates of Guardian Hull reinforcement plates, an inch thick. He emerged from the back office firing off high explosive rounds and using his armour's built-in PA system to call the attending security team a shower of fannies at 200 decibels. Their energy weapons proved useless and they had to resort to heavy anti-tank rounds in order to subdue the rampaging Fo-Wegian. After an hour-long shootout involving enough munitions to level a small city and certainly enough to reduce the Corvette Corral showroom to dust, Ned Benedetti gave himself up, mainly as he was a bit knackered and from wearing the over 100 kilogram of full body armour with no ventilation, and also because he was busting for a pish. He was taken to a high security compound and placed in the isolation wing, pending his court hearing and probable incarceration. Gang leader Braben appears to have staged a daring escape on behalf of his team member, though, with a full tanked up Type 7 smashing through the walls of the prison, picking up Benedetti and whisking him off to yet another of the frameshift bandit's capers. Authorities have gone on record saying that now his face is well known throughout the galaxy, it's likely that the Braben will be making use of the Benedetti skills behind the scenes, and it is very unlikely that we'll be seeing him attending a smash and grab anytime soon, or at least not until the plastic surgery is complete and he's undergone a year or so of vocal training to disguise his natural Komori accent with something that sounds a little less like there are knuckles in the near future of any listener.
Good evening, truckers. Excuse me, Atrus 5060 here reporting some rather terrible news, which we thought was Thargoid related, but turned out actually not to be. Since I already sent out the memo to the Hutton leadership, they agreed that since I was already out in the field, I should do the report, so here we are. This morning at 08:30, which is just after breakfast, Galactic Standard Time, stations in key systems of the Galactic Superpowers, as well as the home of our beloved Lave Radio, Lave Station, were attacked by what we first assumed were Thargoids, dastardly rotters. The presence of the icky green goo and fire damage had all the classic hallmarks of a Thargoid assault. However, after thorough investigation and a few cups of tea, no presence of the bugs was found in any of the attack systems. It was later revealed that the Neo-Marlinist Liberation Army, BOO, or as it's now known, Theta 7, has claimed responsibility for the deadly attacks. The stations attacked were, oh my goodness, I've got a list, hang on, Lave Station in Lave, Dawes Hub in Akinar, Donaldson in Alioth, Dublin's Citadel in Gateway, Harn Gateway in Nanomam, and it's like a small mam, a really small mam, Itto Orbital in Rhea, Leaking Jow in Sol, Parkinson Dog in Neoitensis, and Shijin Market in Kamadenu. It's hard to pronounce that one. The Pilots Federation have begun evacuation operations and sent rescue vehicles to the afflicted stations. That's nice of them, isn't it? But commanders are urged to assist this effort so that Operation IDA, or is it IDA, can begin their work repairing the stations once the evacuations are complete. Yay! This attack has abruptly ended the Galactic Conference, leaving the bubble in a state of uncertainty regarding our ongoing efforts in the Thargoid War. Good thing they haven't shown up in weeks, isn't it? We're happy to hear about the orders from Alvin and the launch of Operation Orange Peel. Good luck out there, truckers. For the mug.
This public statement from Haxcom is for immediate release.
Hello, I'm Commander Falco Took of the Hutton Anti-Xeno Command. Today, we have multiple reports of stations attacked in historic systems across the bubble. Haxcom condemns these attacks and those who perpetrate such attacks. Haxwing's core mission is the defense of innocent lives in humanity's starports. Previously, the only threat to starports was Thargoid attacks, but with the rise of the Neo-Marlinist Liberation Army and their access to Thargoid-based weaponry, we see that the threat list has expanded. I make this statement to the NMLA and any other groups or governments who would consider attacking starports and taking innocent lives. We will oppose you. Whether we agree with your ultimate goals or find your ideals reprehensive, we will oppose you. No goal, no matter how noble, is worth indiscriminate attacks on innocent lives. Haxcom will come to the defense of innocent lives anywhere. Hutton truckers are generally a live and let live lot, but ask anyone who's been on the other side of a war with Hutton, and they will tell you that is a place you do not want to be. NMLA, stand down now. Attack no further stations or face the consequences. They will be harsh and final.
End of Haxcom public statement.
I don't know what it is with the men. Such babies. Lou isn't here because he's scraped his knee and he refuses to come and play unless he gets just the right dinosaur sticking plaster. And Juan Kerr says he's caught some kind of throat infection. Despite promising that he keeps his remlock done up at all times when he leaves his home station and keeps trying to blame whatever Buck left in his old chair. Personally, I think he's probably wolfed those chips down too fast and scratched his soft palate. Anyway, he did send in some notes, so we'll barely miss him at all. Get well soon. I should have said get well soon. Overall, Hutton Systems have settled down a little into a marginally more manageable state with four systems just below 40% and a fifth, Wolf 1481, which could need some attention to raise it up out of the low 30s. Seven systems are above 60%, but only LP532-81 is above 70%. Since we really only want to expand next from LHS 340, let's get that one down a bit. Hutton has seen a rash of infrastructure failures over the week. The failure in Wolf 359 was relieved the next day, but two factions were immediately went into civil war, tying up over 30% of system influence. Their infrastructure failure, active at the time of last week's report in Weiss 0855-0714, took a while to clear, but it's now been resolved. A further failure in AVIC was quickly cleared by Sunday, only to have one immediately break out in Stein 2051, which is still active. An election in Bernard Star has just finished, which was tying up influence, so now it's a good time to get in there and raise Hutton's influence up to 50% to stop the constant squabbling amongst the minor factions. The outbreak left by the pirates in Wolf 25 was quickly contained within a couple of days. After the building anticipation of our expansion state, followed by a quick game of Where's Wally, Hutton have expanded into a new system, T-Apalan, which isn't too hard to say. However, its principal starport, Feoktis Tov Dock, has proven a little more of a mouthful in some circles. Alvin took a while mulling on this system. He gave it a good sniff and even a tentative lick and has finally started some tail wagging. So we're having it. And we're not Feoktis Toffing. We lost both opening days of the entry war against LHS 2429, General Incorporated. So get in there, perforate some hulls and show them that we mean to stay. In Narnia, there's a chance of a proper childhood literature mashup as pirates are attacking the system. Have Prince Caspian's ancestors or the Tel Marines come back to reclaim the system as the prophecy foretold? Not bloody likely. Commanders are asked to wade into the hive of scum and villainy, but to beware ticking clocks and crocodiles when exiting the wardrobe, and mind the noob hammers at Yang. Out in Colonia, King Hanky and his clone army are keeping everything ship-shape and Bristol fashion. Which ship-shape, we aren't quite sure. Is it a T9 or a T10? Well, they look almost the same to me. Don't forget that we still need to leave Hotel Carcinari, where we seem both unable to either check out or leave, despite laying waste to the minibar and filling the shallow end of the swimming pool with television sets. Hutton were within hours of a war with the controlling player faction on Saturday, so let's get it done and get the hell out of there. Priorities this week are 1. If you want to truck something, send water purifiers, HE suits and power generators to Stein 2051, or work missions in Wolf 1481. 2. If you want to shoot something, win the war against LHS 2429 in T'Apalan and kill pirates in Narnia. 3. We still need to exit Carcinari, so help any of the factions there except Hun.
Here are some updates on community-led and community-organised events underway, or coming up soon. Eros Medlung's FDM Isfahan spent most of the week lazing around, spending an extra week in the same location. He tells us that he did a lot of exploration, trying to get his bottom stuck. Is that what he says? Harry, your handwriting is appalling. No, it's trying to get stuck at the bottom of the galaxy. Apparently, he reckons he's done a lot of mining this week. If she didn't have a mouthful of whatever it is she's testing for this week's Galnet Food Digest, Amelia would be shouting, "Call that a lot!" at the microphone right now. Eros tells us that by now his fleet carrier should have moved about 9,000 to 10,000 light years north towards the bulge. You can keep up with this weekly waffle at youtube.com/c/Eros Medlum. A couple of reminders of events starting very soon. First, Comfy Cannon Cruise that we mentioned last week will be visiting all the 124 waypoints of the famous Cannon Challenge aboard the fleet carrier Consu XLF-5XY, leaving Rarity, where it's currently stationed, at 1500 UTC on Sunday, the 14th of March. Details are in their forum posts, and Commander Mephisto has created an easy link for you to gain access. It's bit.ly/ED3C. Remember that all fleet carrier services are available except the secure warehouse, and if you're late for the jump, you'll have a lot of flying ahead of you. Secondly, if you want to go exploring the way we old timers did, without fleet carriers, Commander Huntier's 5 Euro Tours, powered by the New Pilots Initiative, leaves for Melier this Saturday at 1800 UTC. This is a great opportunity for all, but especially new pilots, to experience a 6-week trip with weekly meetups. Get the best of both worlds, exploring company. Sign up on the EDSM expedition and join their Discord, and bring your very best camera for the competition afterwards. Details at bit.ly/5EuroTours. And that's all the events we know about at the moment. Let us know if we've missed any.